Okay, now officially, welcome everybody to Fun with Funnels, our special team office hours call tonight. I'm excited to nerd out about all things funnels with you ladies. Tara has so graciously offered herself to be the guinea pig this evening. So we are going to be setting up her funnel in real time. I'm going to be sharing my screen using all the technology that you'll be able to watch me use the technology that's used for setting up the funnel. And I'm going to keep things really, really, really top line, like really basics 101, because there's a lot that can go into funnel building. And that's not what I'm trying to do tonight, because we would be here for a weekend. So I'm going to keep this very, very top line basics. So if you're wondering, like if you've been reading about funnels, or if you have been building a funnel, or maybe you have one and you wonder why I'm not like going into detail about maybe segmentation or trigger-based or tag-based automation and stuff like that, I'm not going into that stuff in depth tonight because we don't have the time. And also I don't want to create information overload for anybody. So I'm going to start with basics 101. If this is helpful and you ladies would like a 102 or 201 and like a more advanced funnels get together, then maybe we can do that in a few weeks on another special call. So that's my intention tonight, is to keep this simple and keep it informative, and also answer any questions that come up along the way with everybody as we do this in real time. I will be totally transparent, and I was telling Tara this when we hopped on the call a little bit early. I'm a little bit nervous tonight. Like, it's been a while since I've been kind of nervous about this, and I haven't been in MailChimp apparently for a really long time into my MailChimp account. I went in there earlier today to like take a look around and refresh, because I used to be like super savvy front and back, because I managed my mentor's MailChimp account. So I used to be like all over it. But I went in and like my lists are from 2014 and 2015 and 2016, and they're like terrible lead magnets. And I was like, oh God. But I did take a look around, got familiar with their upgrades, and MailChimp is like, they've really put themselves in the game. They're keeping up with some of the really great technology and, some of the great abilities that the more robust email platforms have. So I was really impressed. But also I'm just feeling kind of nervous because I haven't actually set up a funnel in a handful of years, if I'm being honest. So y'all get to see me like navigate this stuff in real time too. Cool. Any pressing questions before we get started here? I'm going to do like a every 15 minute stop and Q&A just to make sure everyone's tracking and see if anybody has questions as we move along. I want to reserve like the end of the call for Q&A for the most part, but if there's something that's like burning and I just like did something that is not making sense, like raise your hand, like pump the brakes, let me know, and I'll stop and walk back through it. But any questions out the gate here? Anybody? Okay, cool. All right. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through this really basic funnel diagram that I made for us for this evening. I made this in Concept Board, which is one of the programs that I use to create nerdy stuff like this. And it's great for just kind of wireframing things out, mapping things out. It's not sexy. It's not like, you know, fancy, obviously, but hopefully it'll serve our needs this evening. So I'm going to go over the pieces of the funnel. I need to somehow move you ladies around so I can see what's happening. Okay. So I'm going to go over the pieces of the funnel. Again, these are like really bare bones. I'm not going into like the copywriting or the strategy or whatever is involved in each piece. I just want to cover like what the pieces are and why they're there and how they function and how they're connected. And then I will walk you through how each one is connected and why and what that all means. So let's see here. I could actually optimize my screen by scooting that guy over. Okay. I'm going to zoom in and we're going to go over the pieces of the funnel first here. Can everyone see my screen okay? Can you see it okay? Okay, cool. So pieces of the funnel. Point of a funnel is to create a journey for your ideal customer to go through, from almost like dating in a way, where it's like you put yourself in front of them or you two meet, and then you court each other and you provide extreme value and you gain trust and you enroll them or they enroll you. And then it leads to a relationship. What we're going for here is extreme value, but we're also going for like super fans. We're going for building really, really strong, passionate relationships with our customers where they're kind of like they're our ride or die, right? Especially at first, we want to really, really narrow in and hone in on the small, small niche within a niche subset of our ideal customers, or at least our, based on our market research and based on what we've learned so far, we want to find the people who are like best suited for our product, service, technology offer. So we ultimately want to gain their trust. We want to establish that we know what we're talking about, that we can help them solve their problem, or we can provide the thing that they're desiring. We want to get them on our list so that we can continuously communicate with them and provide value to them and get feedback from them. And then we also want to convert them into a sale eventually, and ideally repeatedly, which is what the value ladder is all about. So going from the freebie opt-in, like the lead magnet, which is free, and then up the rung to the low-end offer, up the rung to your like mid-grade offer, and then so on and so forth up the pyramid, or up the, you know, value ladder. But for our purposes tonight, we're going to focus on two objectives. First objective is a sales funnel. So I'm going to talk about, for Tara's purposes, her sales funnel. So one of her objectives, or her objective, is to get clients to sign up for her package. What's the package called again, Tara? Sorry, I switched that page off, or I moved it. Total Home Transformation, is that right?
Yeah, it just loosely Whole Home or Total Home. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's the objective with the sales funnel, is for Tara to attract clients, gain their trust, have them sign up for a consultation, and then convert them into an actual paying customer, and then hopefully retain them and have them continue to want to hire her services so that they can organize their lives. The other objective we have is list building funnel. So we're not always trying to sell somebody something right out the gate. In fact, sometimes depending on what your product or service is, or your business model is, it's recommended to actually build your list first, nurture those relationships, establish trust, and do that for a while, at least the first several months of your business, first few months of your business, until you even start to like sell anything at all. You can probably relate, like there have probably been times where like someone tried to sell you to you too quickly when like you weren't ready or you didn't trust them yet. It's like someone trying to kiss you on the first date or whatever, like sleep with you on the first date. And you're like, whoa, 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 dude. Like, no, I don't even know you yet. So that's how it can be sometimes if we just immediately direct people to like a sales page. They're like, well, I don't even know anything about you. Why would I buy from you? So we're going to talk also about list building, the funnel that whose objective is for list building, and how that's connected as well. And these can be interconnected, which I'll show you in a moment here. But in terms of our objectives this evening, sales and list building. So the pieces of the funnel that we're going to be focusing on tonight are, so we need a clear offer. Right, that offers clear value. So lead magnet or a consultation. So we wouldn't outright say buy my package, whatever the package is. Like we wouldn't build a funnel with like buy my package right there. We would want, in most cases at least, we would have a consultation link there, which is the freebie, right? It's your valuable 30 minutes or your valuable hour that somebody is benefiting from through signing up for your consultation. So that's the model that I've used for a very long time through Thumbtack and Yelp and my landing page, where they get a free hour with me and I hopefully provide value in that hour. And then we decide to work together or not, as you all know. So I just wanted to clarify why I have consult here instead of the actual total home transformation. So we have our offer, and then we have our lead magnet. So the lead magnet, if we're not trying to like make a sale or book a consultation, then the lead magnet is the offer, right? But then we have the actual, like, what is the lead magnet? So this would be your, transform your anxiety in 10 minutes with this, you know, proven tip, or three free meditations and affirmations for your morning that will help you move through your day with ease, right? So this is your actual thing, whatever your thing is. Maybe it's a survey, although surveys aren't necessarily interpreted as being valuable enough for someone to put their email address in, unless there's something related to the survey that's really incentivizing them. But there are ways to incentivize, but I won't get into that. So the lead magnet is the actual thing. Typically it's a PDF or an audio or a video, could be a video series. So we just need to consider, like, where does that actual thing actually live? It could live in Google Drive. If it's a PDF, it needs to live somewhere where people can access it, right? Where they have, where like it lives in the interwebs cloud somewhere out there in the ether, but where people can actually download it. They have a link, they can download it. So it could be Google Drive, it could be Dropbox, it could be on your website, right? Hosted on your website. It could be YouTube, Vimeo, etc. But it needs to live somewhere and have a link that people can use to access it. And then depending on your marketing channel, you need to have something that's capturing your audience's attention. So a Facebook ad would definitely qualify. So that could be a Facebook ad speaking to your lead magnet, like, you know, do you struggle with anxiety? Like, da da da, click here. or it could be a Facebook ad if you have a local business and you're a brick and mortar. It could be a Facebook ad that's sharing about your business and they get like a special 20% off coupon or discount, or, you know, whatever your market is incentivized by. That could be your Facebook ad, which then would direct them to the next step. So the next step being a squeeze page. I'm going to zoom in just a little bit. I'm realizing this is pretty small. So the next step right here is a squeeze page. So you'll hear the language landing page a lot, and less so you'll hear squeeze page. A squeeze page is a landing page. It's just a small one. It's just a smaller landing page. You see them all the time. I can guarantee it. It's those, like, it's not a pop-up, because pop-ups are already on your website. A squeeze page, and the reason it's called a squeeze page is because it lives between the ad, or the first thing the person sees, and your website or your thing. So it's like between there. And it's not a full-length landing page. It can be kind of long, but typically it's pretty short, and it has like buy my ebook, or the lead magnet on there, which is where they enter their email address and their information. The reason we want to keep the squeeze page quick, short, and like concise is attention span, right? Like, we need to grab people's attention span. Some people are super into like reading a novel and will do their research and go digging, and they'll like, they want to read the whole landing page, which is awesome. But we can't make that assumption up front necessarily. So we can have a squeeze page that has a shorter call to action, a shorter statement about our unique value proposition and our lead magnet. They fill out their info and then they go on to the next step. If you do want to have a landing page, that's also totally fine. Like, if you are, like, I guess my situation where I have a landing page with the book your free purpose discovery call, and it's like a whole thing. It's my story. It's the, like, the whole hero's journey. It's all the targeted, like, marketing copy. Sorry, ladies, the marketing copy around like what I'm up to and like how I'm going to help y'all and all that good stuff. And it's really long and very robust. And that's because in split testing things, I found that people like really want like that adds a lot of credibility and trust in my particular market. So that's why that's there. But you don't have to have a super long landing page right out the gate unless you want to. And caveat to this, you can also have a landing page instead of a website. And there's a lot, a couple of years ago, it started to become more and more in the conversation in the marketing space online that you don't need a website anymore. You just need a landing page, especially if you just have like a one service or product offer. So if you're feeling like really nervous or stressed out about building like a fully fledged website, you don't have to. You can have a landing page and you can tell your story there and provide information there and have a call to action on that landing page as well if you want to. For our purposes, we're going to talk about squeeze pages here. Another piece of the marketing funnel is the MailChimp setup. So I'm using MailChimp as an example because that's what Tara's using. There are a number of mail service providers out there. MailChimp has been in the game for a long time. I remember, I think I started using them in 2014 and they had been around for a couple of years already at that point. And they're industry standard. They know what they're doing. The ease of access and the learning curve is pretty low and they have a lot of great tutorials and stuff on there. So it's a great kind of plug and play site in that way. But there are certainly other providers like ActiveCampaign, AWeber, ClickFunnels. Then you get into the more robust end of the spectrum, which we're not going to talk about right now. So MailChimp will totally serve your needs until you start to roll out more robust marketing campaigns or until you start to gain traction, like 100 customer or 100 signups a week or what have you. You'll know when you start to outgrow MailChimp, if you outgrow MailChimp, and you'll know why, and then that will help you understand like which platform you need to migrate to from there. But this will hold you up for a while. So within MailChimp, and I'm going to go through this really quickly just for the sake of illustration, because Tara and I are going to go through this in real time. So within MailChimp is where you are going to build your email, everything related to email. So you can actually build your landing page on MailChimp. They call it a landing page, but it can be a squeeze page. You can like customize it, which we'll do. It's where you'll create your list. So what that means is you want to have a list for each offer. And you will eventually, trying to keep it simple. You want a list for each offer. And once you start to learn more about your market through their behavior and through their size. Sorry about that. Okay. So where did I leave off? Email lists. Did you guys hear that part? Okay, cool. So email list, you want to have a list for each offers just so you can keep track. You want to know how people are coming into your email list or into your funnel. And then once you start to learn more about your market and who's coming in, then you can start to segment them based on their behavior or based on their psychographic or demographic, if that matters. Meaning, let's say somebody signs up for your thing, they're on your list and you're sending them emails, but they're not opening the emails. Or maybe they're opening like one once a month or something. So you can actually start to segment people with that behavior from the ones that are like opening your emails all the time, so that you can troubleshoot what's going on with the less interactive leads. And you can either see what's going on there, try to provide more value, whatever. But it's helpful to be able to segment based on behavior for sure, especially when it comes to purchasing behavior or when people like get to the cart, but they don't hit buy. Like you want to follow up and be like, hey, remember me? Like, why didn't you buy? So segmentation down the line, very important. For our purposes, we're going to set up one email list and it's going to be the email list for whichever Tara decides, list building or sales funnel. And we'll get there in a second. And I think that's all I want to say about that before we actually dive in. So once somebody gives you their email address, it's really, really important that we treat that like gold. and we don't take it for granted, and we don't just like, oh, it's another email address, or it's just like another number or something. Like, that's a human being, and we can never, ever, ever forget and lose sight that these are real humans that gave us their email address, which is a very vulnerable and like private and sensitive thing, right? It's like someone giving you their number, kind of. So we need to remember to value that highly and engage with them like friends, you know, like really, really nurture and cultivate that. And so I am going to recommend that we set up automated email sequences, which means that we can use templates and customize them, make them really personal with our own stories and our own, like, you know, branding, our own messaging, or we can write them from scratch. Templating is probably the best call as you learn the ropes here, but we want to make sure that even if we do that, we're being mindful that we're speaking to humans and we're having actual conversations. And it's not just those like plug and play email autoresponder sequences that get super annoying and offer nothing. So I wanted to speak to that, because it can be tempting to just like, because you can buy swipe files, you can buy email list building templated swipe files, and they're great, but we have to make sure that we're like customizing them and providing value so that we have an engaged list. So any questions so far before I start to go over the connection of the funnel?
What's a swipe file, Fawn? I've heard you say that before. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, great question. So a swipe file is a little ninja trick that we do in the industry as business owners, where it's basically like stealing like an artist. So a swipe file would be I have several of them. I'll give you an example. So Marie Forleo just did her launch, right, for B School. And in a couple months, I'm about to do a launch for Life and Purpose. So because I know that Marie Forleo is like best in show, best in game, I created a folder with all of her B School launch emails, like all of them. I downloaded her 4-part video series. I downloaded her freebies. So now I have this folder in my inbox and on my computer of all of Marie Forleo's B School launch assets that I can now take a look at. And I have several other of them that I've built over the years. And I want to learn from the best of the best. I don't want to steal their copy, but I want to understand why they're doing what they're doing and the psychology behind what they're doing. So it's essentially a folder with aggregated assets of some kind. It could be emails, it could be videos, it could be like there's funnel swipe files where you can like plug and play funnels of different kinds. So using other like bundles of other assets, and it's called a swipe file because we swipe it from other people. but don't plagiarize. does that answer your question, Jess?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start at the start here. I'm going to go over this briefly because Tara and I are going to go in depth. So I have the start as the lead learns about you. Obviously, as business owners, entrepreneurs, there's a whole bunch of stuff that came before this, but I'm just starting off with this point because this is where we make our first point of interaction with our customer or with our lead, right? Our potential customer. So I'm going to take y'all down the list building funnel avenue first, and then we're going to come back and we're going to go into the sales funnel avenue. So the marketing channel is where your lead is going to find you in this case. This isn't universal. I'm just, for the sake of our purposes, using kind of the more like common scenarios. So it could be a Facebook ad. It could be on Yelp, your account on Yelp. Could be a Google search. If you have good Google SEO, your website's like at the top, or if you're using Google AdWords to promote your business. But they find you somewhere, right? They encounter you somewhere. And that's where that first impression is made. So your ad, your profile, your whatever it is, needs to be legit. Like it needs to capture their attention and communicate or subcommunicate trust and value immediately. So one of the action items I'm going to have you ladies do for the next few weeks is look around for really enticing offers in your market and sign up for their stuff and save, like create swipe files. I'm glad you asked that, Jess, because that's one of the action items, is to start creating swipe files of people's lead magnets, the emails they send you, the sequence of things that you see as you get into their funnels. I want you to be conscious of what it's like to go through funnels so that then you can create your funnel in a way that is better. It's improved or different from theirs. So that being said, having a standout value driven first impression. So that would be probably the squeeze page, right? With the lead magnet. So, top 10 ways to make $1 million by Friday. Exaggeration, obviously. So they see that and they're like, that sounds pretty good. I think I want to opt into that. If they don't, they don't, right? So we're not going to talk about that case scenario. Let's say that they do. So if they decide to opt in and give us their email, then two things happen. One is that because our squeeze page lives on MailChimp and it's integrated with it's connected to the list in MailChimp, then their email is going to go on that list and that's going to start your email series, your thank you, welcome and thank you series. And on the user end, that's going to take them to a thank you page. A lot of people don't do this and it's a great thing to do because MailChimp just has their default, confirmed, you've been added to the list, please check your email. But a much better thing to do is to redirect them. And this is automatic. So as soon as they sign up, it takes them to a page on your website. So boom, now you have an email address and now you have traffic on your site, a warm lead essentially, on your site, and it's a web page on your website that says, thank you for signing up. It could be a video. It could be a little paragraph that says, please check your email and confirm that you would like to be on this list so that you can download your free lead magnet. So that's what's called a double opt-in. And these days, double opt-ins are necessary. They didn't used to be. Like when I was doing this, I was like, oh God, double opt-ins, that's so annoying. But now it's mandatory. And what that means is that Gmail and other email servers have gotten really, really strict for good reason around spam and around what is allowed to enter people's inboxes. So if Gmail has any reason to think that this is spam, that we're spamming them, it's going to send us to the spam folder. So there are numerous ways to prevent that. One of them being that we do what's called a double opt-in, which means that the person signs up with their email address, but then they also need to go back into their email and click on the email and click confirm. And that means that tells Google or Gmail, this person is safe, this vendor or this sender is safe, and it won't redirect it to spam. So we want to do double opt-ins. There's some fear that can come up around that, that's going to deter people from actually confirming, because it's one more step and we want to keep it to as few barriers to entry as possible. But it's better than it going to spam. And also, if the person isn't excited or hooked enough to confirm that they just joined your email list, then probably not a quality lead anyway. So it's a vetting process. We can look at it that way. So redirect to a page on your website, not just a page on MailChimp or some floating page in space, but a page on your website that you create, super simple, that says, thank you so much for signing up. Please go to your inbox and walk them through the steps, and then have some, a photo of yourself or a testimonial or something that's really helps them to get to know you right away, subcommunicates that relationship, starts to build the trust. So thank you page is really great. So on the user end, that's what they experience. So, all right. So then they get added to the email audience. MailChimp's calling it an an audience. I don't know why they're calling it an audience. It's called a list, whatever. I think it's, yeah, I think I can know, I can tell why, but audience list means the same thing in MailChimp, just so you guys know. So the email goes into the list that you've created. An option here, and I don't want to go too far into this. And some would say a very highly recommended option here is to, instead of sending them to a thank you page on your website, send them to an upsell or a tripwire. So they just signed up for your free thing. Some might say that it's a good idea to send them to your like $9.99 offer, right? Like something that has more value that's related to the free thing that they just purchased. Depends on the industry. I'm not even going to speak to that, but there are a lot of marketers who are big fans of doing that. So I just wanted to mention it. A low value offer can also be called a tripwire offer. If you guys ever see the terminology tripwire, it's a way to get people into the purchasing behavior more quickly than they would have otherwise. And also a way to kind of psychologically incentivize them to like buy your bigger offer sooner, but that's for later. All right. So now they're on your list. Now they're on your email list and they're going to receive your lead magnet through that email that they confirm. And then they're going to start to receive their welcome or nurture emails. So, as you know, obviously the first email that's like, welcome, thanks for joining the list. I'm only going to send you really valuable stuff. If you ever feel like I'm sending you crap, like, please tell me so that I can serve you more powerfully. So that welcome email is really important. And we want to start delivering extreme value right away. So that doesn't mean like overwhelm them with information or things or products or anything. It means now that we know their psychographic, because we've done so much market research and we understand their pains and their difficulties and what it is that they really want. Like in each email, we better be speaking to that, right? We better be empowering them with some information that's going to start to help position us as an authority, but also help to alleviate any, you know, whatever their situation is. So this can be set up in MailChimp and automated. So to keep it very simple, again, you can like on a, over a weekend or something, write out your 10, 15, email series for that you want to deliver over the next month, right? Or the next month and a half or whatever. And you can automate that on a timer or on based on behavior. Timer is usually better, so that they get that first email and everything is automatic. Like it's set it and forget it, but you don't want to super forget it because it's important to go back and make sure that everything is working and like, you know, get your stats and all that stuff, but it's functionally set it and forget it. So once they opt in and if you have all that backend set up in MailChimp, it's great because then you don't have to like, oh shit, I have to write my email this week or, you know, whatever. So then that's called a nurture campaign or a list building campaign. And then a couple months into that, you can, if you want to, start selling your product, your service, or even like your lowest offer. Then you can start to, there's a whole psychology and a whole like methodology to transitioning from nurture into launch or nurture into sales. But for our purposes, we just want to get set up here. So that's list building path. Anybody have questions with that? Kim, yeah.
For the nurturing one, like I have an automated one that's set up for when people first sign up and it goes that it shoots it out like within an hour of them, you know, signing up. The nurture one, how I haven't been in to see what the timing is, like you can set up the timing, but say they opt in after, because I didn't make it automated. So my one that I posted is actually one that went out to my list, which is very, very short. But anybody adding after that, what do they get the nurture one or do you have to manually push it out? Do you understand what I'm saying?
So after the welcome email, you mean?
Mm-hmm. So after the one that I do have automated, mm-hmm. which is as soon as they put it in within an hour, it kicks it out with my freebie. Mm-hmm. So the nurturing one, I don't have that one automated yet. So I pushed it out, I don't know, this weekend, I think on Saturday, to the people who are on my list. So since I don't have it automated, the people who add on after that won't get it unless I manually push it out. How, I guess I'm asking, how do you automate it? Like, when would they get it? 2 weeks at, can you set a timing? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that part. So I wasn't sure.
Nope. Yeah. Great question. Sorry, I need to let my dog out, but that's a great question and I'll answer that in a sec.
Okay.
All right. So that's awesome, Kim, that you already have your welcome email. I want to acknowledge and congratulate you on that because that's a big step. And the fact that you have that set up is totally fantastic. And that second email that you're referring to that you manually sent out to the people already on your list, that's great. So what you can do now is you can connect the first one to the second one and you can tell it how much time you want to pass between them. So now you can link them and then anybody that signs up after you link them, it'll put them in that series.
Oh, okay. So even though I've already made, I can still link it and then it'll do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Now, will it resend it out to the people who already got it or no?
Okay. Nope, it'll just do it for the new subscribers.
Okay, thank you. And then I would keep linking them
if you're doing it manually and rolling these out, let's say like weekly, right? Just hypothetically, and you're manually sending them out to your existing list, then you can just link them so that anybody who's coming in now is like going farther and farther through the sequence because you're linking them. Or if you want, you can create 10 of them if you want to. You can link mm-hmm. them and you can have the people who are already in it. Let's say they've gotten to email number 3. You can have the series start mm-hmm. automatically bringing them through that. And then anyone new will go through all of them so that it's all automated. Cool. Yeah. But if you want to do it manually, that's totally cool too. And you can link it as you go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Great question. Anybody else have questions about the list building part? Okay, cool. So we're going to go up to sales. This one's going to be quicker. So let's say we want, I mean, of course the objective with all of this is to provide value and make some money, right? Like let's make some sales. This path is more direct than the list building path. So starting from the same place, they find out about us, right? And this would be for like service-based businesses like coaching, house cleaning, house organizing, tree trimming, that sort of thing, Yelp, Thumbtack, maybe like Angie's List, whatever those kinds of things are. Then they come to our profile. Hypothetically, we have a very strong profile. We have some testimonials. We've got like taking care of our, like, you know, showing up with credibility. And then they see our call to action, the CTA. And that could be in the form of a lead magnet. Insofar as it could be they get to the Yelp page and it says, book your free consultation. They book their free consultation. Like they click the link, takes them to Calendly, for example, they sign up, they have their consult booked. We can also set it up so that when they sign up in Calendly, Calendly talks to MailChimp and puts their email in the MailChimp in a different list, right? For like consultations. So then they go into the consultation list and we'll have a welcome, same thing, welcome email, excited to connect with you. Here's my free blah, blah, blah for you to check out before our call, et cetera. So they go through a similar sequence, but it's on a sales list. And the verbiage will be different. Like the messaging will be different because they've signed up for a consultation. So they're, we're like really speaking specifically to them. Or we can also have a squeeze page for that as well. So let's say they go to Yelp and we have a, our call to offer is download my ebook or whatever, right? So then they click on that, takes them to the squeeze page, and they can book their consultation and receive the ebook or something like that. So there can be a squeeze page. It's not as common, but it's possible. So then they're now on the list. We redirect them to that thank you page on our website. Videos are, again, videos are so great for that. And once you start to get into funnels with this awareness, you'll be like, yeah, it was kind of nice to see that video because now I feel like I know the person, you know, more like personally. So on their end, they're like, oh, cool. They're on their, on your website, checking it out. And then on your end, you receive the, whatever it is, the Calendly confirmation or the lead, insofar as however your process is set up to connect with them prior to them making the sale. And then two things can happen, right? You get on that consultation call and they're either like, yes, like I want to work with you. Let's do this. I want to buy your thing. Yay. in which case they're already on your list because we automatically add everybody to some kind of a list that offers value. And they become your client and you start working together and, hopefully all goes well. And then they become a recurring client that is kind of transitions from, there's some new lingo in the field right now that says that funnels are good and flywheels are great. And I don't want to get into flywheels too much right now, but basically what that means is like our customers and like us providing value to our customers creates the traction by which our customers refer other customers to us. And it becomes this like social proof mechanism where we're just gaining so much credibility in the space that that it helps our business expand. So that's something that could happen from a yes client. And I'm so grateful that a lot of you actually have been a part of that for my business and sharing and getting involved in a variety of things that I've been offering over the years. So it's wonderful. So yay, optimally, there's the client. And then from there, right, you need to... there's probably some kind of a sales transaction that's going to happen here. So you would want to have your bank account set up. You would want to have your payment portal set up, whatever that may be. I won't get into that right now, but you need a payment portal of some kind. And you also need a merchant service. Sometimes the payment portal and the merchant service is the same thing. Merchant service basically means like the technology that takes the person's credit card, puts the money in your account. The portal could be like WooCommerce or some kind of third-party thing that sets up your sales page and the transaction page. Sometimes those are separate, sometimes they're together. It's great when they're together. So that's something that I could discuss on a future call if you guys are interested in how to set up payment portals. Totally down. But you want to receive that payment and, you know, carry on from there with your new client. But let's say that they don't want to, you have the consultation and they're like, oh man, I don't know. I have to talk to my husband and my aunt and I have to make sure that I have like enough $2 bills in the jar in the closet or whatever, right? So let's say they're not a hell yes. Then we're like, okay, cool. Like it's not a fit for you right now. No worries. I have some really great free information that I'm going to send you that I think is going to be really helpful. So we send them into probably, ideally, a separate list, right, for consultations that were a no on the call. And in that list is warm to hot because they like actually went through that whole process, got on a call with us, and then they were like, you know, for whatever reason, didn't say yes. But like those are some of the most promising leads. We need to figure out how to convert them into a paying customer. Again, whole different conversation, but one of the best things we can do is put them on a separate list and start delivering really substantial value to them. So maybe we send them some of our call recordings or we send them like a tutorial video of how to do this thing that's like a representative of our work and then a representation, sorry, of our work and representation of the service that they're going to like experience. So delivering value to them in a way that has them overcome those points of resistance or overcome what are called the objections to purchase, and through establishing trust, through providing value, et cetera. It's not always going to convert. They're not always going to come back and be like, okay, fine, I want to do your thing. But it's certainly like, if we don't capture those leads and those opportunities, we're basically just like shooting ourselves in the foot. So they go on a list down here to the nurture campaign. I'm keeping it simple. So they're going to go on the nurture campaign, get those emails, get that value. And then when we do start to kind of drip feed our offer to the list down the line, then they're going to receive those as well. And then maybe at that point, they'll be more prepared to buy. Or if they're in their own list, then we can have a totally a different intentional campaign for them as well. But we're going to keep keeping it simple. So that's the very, 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 very simple version of the funnel. let's take any questions about functionality. And then Tara's going to be the guinea pig, and we're going to actually set this up. And we're starting from scratch too, which is going to be hopefully fun. Any questions about like how things connect or why each piece is in the... Jonathan, do you have a question?
Yeah. Just with the welcome email and the nurture email, and then there's subsequent like drip feed emails. Do you have like a set, kind of like what Kim was asking, like a set timeline for that, a set sequence? Mm-hmm. Can you roll it out and have the sequence be like a set amount of time, but then like decide when to roll it out for specific groups? Or
great question. Yeah. So the welcome email series can be 3 to 5 emails, probably about 3, like 1 to 3 emails where you're like, welcome. Right. And then the second one is like, hey, thanks again for joining. We're so glad you're here. And then the third one might be like, you know, so good to still see you here on the list or whatever. So acknowledging, like, one of the psychological, one of the most powerful psychological things to do for our leads and for our customers is validate the decision that they made to be a part of us, a part of what we're doing. So the welcome email series is really important because we're validating, because people get sticker shock very easily, especially when inboxes are like overflowing, right? So the email series can be 3 emails or so, and the welcome series, and then the nurture campaign can be 10, 20 emails, 1 or 2 months, maybe a little bit longer. And it really depends on your intention and your market and your product. That's going to determine how frequently your emails are going out to them. It's going to determine when you do start to kind of whisper that you're going to have an offer or you have an offer, like, so it depends. And I will say, I know I've talked about split testing before and how it's the most important thing in the world in all regards, but this is where email campaigns get really fun, because we look on the backside of the analytics. You can see how many people are opening your emails. You can see how many people are clicking through to your website. You can see the engagement level, and you can start split testing. Things like, you know, lead magnet A and lead magnet B and like all kinds of fun stuff. But that split testing, that's where you start to gather data and you start to kind of get some traction around people's behavior. And so your nurture campaign can be 20 emails, 30 emails, 40 emails, like depending on how frequently your people want to be hearing from you. And then for those different lists that I was mentioning, like the lead magnet list, the consultation yes, consultation no, like those different lists, right, or those different audiences, they can each go into their very own email campaigns, right, their own nurture campaigns that are set on a timer of their own. But at first, you can just have one. It's okay. You don't have to have a bunch of different lists.
Right. That makes sense.
Cool. Was that, thanks. Did I answer your question? Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Great question. Okay. So let's, oh, Kim. Yeah.
To piggyback on Jasmine, but when you have those separate lists, do they get different content from you?
Yes, they will get different content from you depending on why you separated them in the first place. So just kind of thinking about like, why is this person, why did they join my list? Or why are they on this list? Oh, they're on this list because they had a consultation, but they couldn't afford the coaching or whatever. So once we start to build things out more, we want to write our copy and our messaging and the value we're providing to specifically nurture that kind of behavior, right? That kind of lead.
Okay.
Which is going to look very different from somebody who just downloaded your lead magnet, has never spoken to you, or like doesn't know much about you, right?
Okay.
So that's why like down the line, segmentation starts to become really important. All that segmentation means is that we start to identify our audience in their differences that important for us to speak. Like, it's important for us to speak directly to our audience, right? So that's why niching is so important. But there's like niches within niches within niches. And we want to make sure that we're saying the right things to the right people, basically.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. But again, at the beginning, keeping it simple, like start one list. And this is what's great about tags, which I'll show you ladies in a minute. Tags definitely didn't exist in MailChimp 3 years ago. The tags didn't really exist except for in this super, super multi-$1,000 software called Infusionsoft for several years. But now tags are starting to be, I think it's probably industry standard now that they're used. And they're great because what that means is that we can start with one list, right? Our lead magnet list, let's say. And then let's say somebody does book a consultation with us. Then we can just put a little tag on them that says lead magnet and then a tag that says consultation. And now they have two tags on them. So we can create an email campaign for the people that have had consultations, but not for the people that didn't, right? So we start to be able to parse things out in a much more proactive way than it used to be, where you like had to set up a whole list for everything. Da, da, da. So tags are great. And I'll show you guys that in a second, but I don't want to get too deep with this because it can get pretty rabbit holey. Okay. So let's go over to Tara's neck of the woods here. And I had her fill out some questions to help me understand like where she's at and what her funnel is going to be made of. And we actually haven't gone through this together. So you ladies get to observe all of this in real time, which is totally great. I think it's important to see how it happens organically. So again, toggling back over to here. These are the things that we want to set up with Tara. And I'm not going to actually like set up, you know, like a beautiful value offer or a lead magnet. I'm just going to set up a placeholder. All right. So Tara's market, let's learn a little bit about them. You did a great job with this too, Tara, the psychographics, super awesome. 32 to 55 female, lives in a house, transitioning into a new stage of life. As kids, enjoy some improvement, self-care, self-improvement. So that's totally a great start. Their pain points, and I love how you got really, really specific here, really granular, which is so helpful because many reasons, but we can take this copy that you've written, Tara, around their pain points, and you can put that into your marketing stuff, right? You can put that in your lead magnet. You can put that in your email campaign series. Like, it's great. We can repurpose content everywhere. It's wonderful once we start to aggregate it. Okay. So like, clutter has them physically and mentally weighed down. Like, that could even be, for the sake of demonstration, like are you feeling like your clutter has you physically and mentally weighing you down? Click here. Something to boost you into the new phase of life. Like, all of this is totally testable lead magnet copy messaging material. It's so great.
Right.
Go ahead, Tara. Do you want to speak to this real quick?
So when I wrote all this, I was just thinking of one client I've had in particular and how like extraordinarily chaotic her house was. And like, I was trying to get into her head when I was writing this, like how she feels. So yeah, that's all.
That's
like getting into the head.
Yep. That's perfect. That's wonderful. And that's what I would love everybody to do, is create your ideal avatar. And you probably know her, if it's not you, a former version of you. You probably know your avatar. You probably encountered her. And yes, exactly. Get inside her head, because this level of specificity in this language is how, when we go to someone's website and we're like, oh my God, they're reading my mind. That's what we want our people to feel, right? And so having this specific language is what connects that. Another great idea that can be helpful is to write like a dear diary or like a journal rant from their perspective of their pain points of like, God, the kids are tearing up the house again. I've got shit laying all over the kitchen. Like, blah, my boyfriend doesn't help me. Like, he always says he's going to clean the garage and now I can't even open the door, whatever. But write their experience when they're in their most frustrating moment. And that can be really helpful in the copy as well. Yeah, but this is so, when I read this, I was like, yes. I specifically like this one. Like, I have no idea where to start when it comes to getting my home in order. I feel like I'm just going to make an even bigger mess, right? So lots of content to use here. I'm going to keep moving forward for the sake of time, but like, these are such great, great example. Tired of constantly losing things, paying bills late, forgetting important things. Like, yep, that's such a good one. Do any of these stand out for the sake of our mock lead magnet tonight? Do any of these like really stand out to you, Tara, as like, just to play with?
Oh man, I spent so much time on a title for our mock one tonight. Let's see.
Okay.
No, 'cause I was really focusing on like the spring cleaning aspect. So I think I put it in the notes here. Maybe not. It's you guys can tell me what you think, if I can even find it. Oh, it's in pages. Okay. I said,
am I going too fast? Do you have it?
No. I have it on pages. It's a spring clutter deep dive to be tidy for a year.
Okay. Huh? Ladies, okay. How enticing does that feel to you when she just read it in context to the language that of the other, what, like things we were just reading around the pain points, does this feel like more resonant or less resonant? To me, this feels less resonant.
Not because of your reaction.
not because it's not good, but because it's
softer.
This is outcome based, right? This is like, how do I say? This is the what, and we want to hit their emotions. So like, we want to stop them in their tracks when they're scrolling on Facebook and they see your thing, like that, whatever the thing is that we're saying to them, we want them to be like, oh, holy shit, she gets me. So this would be is this your offer that they would eventually be like signing up for, or is this your, this would be the lead magnet?
That was for the lead magnet, like the list,
is it like a checklist?
Man, yeah, sort of like a checklist, like the top 10
okay
things, kind of.
Okay.
And I got that title off of Pinterest because I noticed that the things that stuck out to me a lot were when people defined time or like gave some kind of like number definition. I was like tidy for a year. Mm-hmm. But
your bullet points of your pain points should definitely be your lead magnets.
Okay.
Like everyone I read, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, yes. The link is so good.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Like they, like what Fawn said, they made me like feel an emotion. And then like the thing you had in pink was like the result I would want, but mm-hmm. what would pull me in would be the feeling that I had after okay. reading the pain points.
Gotcha.
From like a customer.
Yeah. Standpoint. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to kind of parse that out for a second here, because I don't want us to get our wires crossed. So I'm talking right now about that first encounter, right? Like with the first thing they see, our Facebook ad is not our lead magnet. And I want to differentiate this. The Facebook ad is not the lead magnet. The Facebook ad is advertising the lead magnet. The lead magnet is the downloadable PDF or the video or whatever. Okay. But the Facebook ad or the whatever the thing is that they see, that's gotcha. Where we're like, does your life suck because you're in piles of clothes? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, that sounds horrible. I have your solution because I am a professional blah, blah. And click here for a worry-free spring clutter deep dive for a year being tidy, right? So we're like, ooh, the pain point. And then we serve the solution. But
okay, that makes sense.
Okay, cool.
I get that now. Okay. So this is like the hook. This is like the grab line or whatever.
So your marketing copy, your ad copy, or your website copy, or your squeeze page, whatever it is that they are stumbling across, right, or finding you, we need that to emotionally wake them up, right, or like help them tune into their problem, dysfunction, pretty immediately, or like. And say it in a way that they're like, oh my God, she's reading my mind, right? Like, raise your hand, ladies. Have you ever had that experience where you're just like randomly scrolling around and you come across something and you're like, whoa, like, that's me. Yeah. So that's the hook. And then they click on that because they're like, wait, she can help me with this? No way. They click on that, which takes them to the squeeze page where you're like, yeah, totally sucks to have lots of clothes on the floor. What you need is my checklist, right? Or my lead magnet, in other words. So
really quick, what would be the order of that? So like it's an ad and then it says like, click here to learn more. And then it takes you to a squeeze page. Like I can help you. Here's my like super easy list. Drop your email here and I'll shoot it over to you.
Yep.
And then you get that. It's probably living on my website. And so they get redirected on my website and they get a welcome email in their inbox.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Like something just happened in my brain.
Oh.
Aha.
Yay. Awesome. Yes, exactly. Yep. They just went like, oh, lead magnet. Oh, now I'm on the email list. Oh, now I'm on her website. Yep. You got it. Boom.
Awesome. Okay. I think we're done here.
Yeah. Class is dismissed. See you ladies next week. Just kidding. There's no office hours next week, by the way. It's my birthday. Sorry.
Okay.
You got it, Tara. That was great. Okay. So then we will, let's start building some stuff. Let's start having some fun here.
I don't have a preference really. I mean, I feel like the losing things, paying bills, like
okay.
replying is something I've seen happen a lot.
Mm-hmm. I would say like in my hundreds of consult calls, like this represents the disorganization, but for those who struggle with disorganization, that captures it really well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, for our purposes tonight, like we're going to have fun with this. So it doesn't, okay. Yeah. All right, so let's see if Fawn's MailChimp chops are up to speed here. All right, so you log into MailChimp and it takes you to, it's, let's see what the main MailChimp homepage is like. Oh, yeah, good evening, Tara. So once you start to gain, you know, subscribers, followers, stuff like that, this is going to look a lot more robust. And it's basically like your weekly stats. You can set this up so that it gives you more information or more specific information, but whatever. That's just what this is. So up here on the top left hand is your, the things that, your assets, essentially. So you've got your, they call it a campaign. So that experience we just talked about, like where the person goes through the funnel from start to end, right? That they refer to that as a campaign, fairly commonly referred to as a campaign, but not always. So the campaign would be, let's click on what they have going on here. And I invite all of you to, if you have MailChimp or you're interested, they have a free version, they have a paid version, but go in and just like start poking around. So the campaigns are, looks like you have these, like lead magnets, essentially.
Yeah.
Cool. 10 instant hacks, 10 best declutter. Look at you. Did you make all these?
I guess so. that was last year. The real estate blast. A real estate agent told me he can blast out my flyer to his network. So I made one and he later told me that he actually wasn't allowed to do that. So, but it was good practice.
Yeah, that is good practice and a really creative way of approaching that.
Yeah.
Cool. So look at you, you've got all these lead magnets. We'll just use one of these then.
That's just like the title. There's nothing of substance.
Oh, okay. Then we'll make one. Yeah. So at any rate, this is where you would see your campaigns, right? So the, obviously Tara's made a bunch of them ostensibly here. So if you wanted to go in at any point after you make your campaign to alter anything, change anything, this is where you find them. And you can view your campaigns by these, like the different kinds of campaigns. MailChimp is just really catching up. It's really cool. All right, automate. So we'll get to that momentarily. What we want to do first is we want to create a list, or what MailChimp is referring to as an audience. So let's create a new audience in here. Should be easy to do. Anybody seeing a create audience button?
Up on the top, there's create on the title bar, the menu bar. Create, add, create. Email.
No, we need an audience first. Okay. I did this earlier, so I know it's possible for Fawn to figure it out. Maybe it is great. Let's check it out. Because in order for any of these to do anything, we have to have a list that they're sent to first. So, do you have the, you still should be able to.
Do I need to upgrade?
No, you should be able to create there. Okay.
And we don't create an ad first?
No, because it needs somewhere to point to. I mean, you can create these disparate parts and then, but I feel like it asks you your audience like almost first. Let's start with.
It says that Hirschtree has an audience.
Oh. Right. I want to create a new one for the sake of this demo. So let's try campaign name. Okay.
Okay.
Nope. See, it's trying to send it to that audience. We don't want that. Okay. Well, I might have to switch over to my account. I don't know why. Does this let you, does this allow for you to have more than one list, Tara? You probably don't know. Choose an audience. So theoretically, it should, when you go to audience, it should have a button there that says create new audience, but we're not seeing that right now. So we'll do a little troubleshooting. Okay, I might switch over.
What about manage audience? What's that drop down option there?
Yeah.
No,
good eye, but no, it's just like
on.
Yeah.
I know. When I did automated, it gave me that choice to like create one for people to opt into. But when I created a campaign, it made me choose a list.
Okay.
So I chose welcome new subscribers. That's the one that worked for me.
Let's try that. So here, yeah, see, it's like defaulting to the one. It's not giving me an option to create an audience for some reason. And I don't want to mail her existing list with our demo lead magnet. Like, what is this? Well, this is odd, and it's probably a really easy thing that just isn't obvious for some reason. So let me log in from, I'm going to log in from mine and see. Because I set it up earlier and ran a demo and it was cool.
So hopefully this is why, or explains part of the reason why I'm having such a hard time figuring it out.
Could be part of it. Yeah, because if you can't set up an audience, then you can't connect anything to it. Oh God, I don't know my password, son of a... let's try this from a not private window.
Under manage audiences, or under manage audience, it says to click on view audiences, and then it says create audience. Top right.
Maybe you have to upgrade. We've hit your audience limit. There we go.
You already have the max amount of audiences. Oh, okay. You'll need to upgrade. Okay. I will upgrade really quick.
Okay.
I hope the $29.99 a month. Okay. Oh, includes three audiences. Now I see. Okay. I'm going to upgrade.
Huh? Wait, it's $29.99 a month for three audiences?
Yeah. Well, there's a $3 discount too.
$26.
This is crazy. What? I know. Is this one too expensive? Is there a different one? Different, better?
I'm just old. I'm like, MailChimp in my day used to be $9.99 for 10 lists.
Okay, I'm going to, I'll just upgrade real quick.
Cool. Okay. So you're logged in on your side?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad that we figured that out because that was about to be really weird.
Audience limit. Oh, goodness. Okay. All right. Paying with, what do I say? Yes. Pay.
Oh. Yeah, that's wild. Huh. Three audiences for $30. I'm going to do a little research.
Okay. We are locked and loaded here.
Sweet. Let's refresh page. Way to handle that, Tara.
Yeah, thank you. for who found that, Jasmine?
Yes, thanks, Jazz.
Sarah, when I go to MailChimp pricing, it says it's only $9.99 a month for three audiences. That's weird.
Uh-oh.
Well, what the heck? Here, wait, three audiences.
What's that racket? Yeah. They're like targeting people who have already used it. They're like,
oh. yeah, because I'm on the MailChimp.com pricing page.
Is that annual or monthly, Ash?
Oh, monthly.
I wonder if I did like a free trial or something. Is that no?
I don't know, but I just thought it was weird. Because five audiences is only $14.99 a month.
Poor Tara's getting ripped off.
I'm like, why is
it? They're like hiding the button from her, charging her 8 times as much. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and create an audience. And we're going to call, we can delete this audience later. So this is all simulation stuff. So I'll call this audience team is the best ever. default from email address. So this is your business address, ladies. This will not be your personal address. So if you don't have a business email address, go ahead and get yourself one.
I just found out it's because underneath the plans there's a little slider bar that says how many contacts do you have, and it was slid on that I have 2,500. So for every 500 contacts, it raises the price.
Because
I have less than 500. Okay.
Yep. That's a thing. That's why, fun tip, that's why it's really important to go through and clean your list every 3 to 6 months. Because if you have people on your list who aren't engaging, right, they're not opening your stuff, then like send out a couple of blasts that say, hey, like, are you still paying attention? Still want to be here? And if they're not, then scrub them from the list because you're paying for it. Like, you're paying for that, one, and two, they're confounding your statistics because they're basically like non-active leads on your list that are pointless. Anyway, so Tara, what is your business email address?
Tara at the Tidy Home SB. For now. Oh, you did it too, the Tiny Home. That's another reason why I want to change my business name.
What?
My mom and my
tidy. I was not paying attention.
Tiny home. What's the tiny home, Tara?
Wait, say tidy again. Tiny home, like you did.
Tidy.
Wow. Tidy. Sorry about that. That was totally. Yep. Wasn't even paying attention. Okay. So, do you want it to be from you or from your business?
Is it better to be more personable or to look like I'm part of a team?
It's better to be more personal at first, unless you are for sure just building an enterprise, like, you know, a business that is has nothing to do with you and you don't want to be associated with like the face of the business. But at first, and I think for your purposes as well with your branding, my two cents is that at least for a while, you are your business, right? And that's what people are getting to know and trust. So,
okay.
So I might say like Tara at the Tiny Home or Tara Folsom. And
you just did it again.
Did I say tiny?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's okay. It's a loud and clear message.
No, it's just that my brain is like too engaged in other places to pay attention to what my mouth is saying, which is always a fun thing to realize. Sorry, Tara. So we'll use your name. So campaign URL settings, this can, you don't really need to know about this right now, but what it's here for is if you want a specific URL to link people to access your actual campaign. But right now it's not that important. So if you're curious about that, there's probably tutorials about why that exists and when the use case of that. Okay, so remind people how they signed up. You are in Teams and you're awesome. All right, so you want to say something. This is usually at the footer of the that double opt-in where it's like, you signed up because I, you know, sent you that, or you came across my blah, 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 right? So you just want to remind them where they found you, because, you know, people forget. All right. So enable double opt-in. So that's where this is in settings. GDPR, we don't need over here in the States, but if you do have a market or an audience over in Europe, in the EU, they have very strict parameters around the whole email, like email thing and spam and all of that, which is, again, for good reason on the user side, but we don't need to know about that right now. But if your market is international, that is something that you would want to pay attention to, make sure that you're compliant so that you're not, you don't have like 2,000 people over in London and they're just not getting your stuff, right? And then notifications. So this is asking, how often do you want to know how your list is doing? So you can get a daily summary, or you can get a notification every time someone signs up or every time someone unsubscribes. So we'll do another one. All right, now we have an audience and I'm seeing that we are at time. Let's take a vote here. Do you ladies want to stay on while we set the rest of this up, or should Tara and I film a tutorial of us doing the rest of this and then send it over to you ladies? Or do we want to do Q&A right now, or some variation thereof? Raise your hand if you want to stay on, or if you can stay on.
Okay. Well, Juan, what's the timing estimate? Stay on for how long?
So we need to set up the audience. We'll set up a lead magnet or a landing page that is connected to the lead magnet. And then we'll create a template, like an email, and we'll set up the automation and we'll get it going. So probably a half an hour. But if you guys need to hop off, Tara, do you have extra time? Because we can just keep moving forward and then keep setting up. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll do that. Let's break for a quick Q&A here for those of you who do need to scoot off. Questions thus far about this funnel building business? Doing all right? Okay. Jasmine, yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm gonna hop off, and you said you will like live record this?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna get to go to soccer.
Cool. Oh, have fun.
Yeah, but it's a good time to break. I don't wanna like stay for a little bit and then so I'll just watch the rest of it.
Cool. Sounds good. Yay, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, same for me also. Sorry. Okay. I'm gonna drop now and then catch up over video.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for being with us, Jess. Have a good rest of your night. Ciao.
I will do the same because I have an early flight tomorrow and I got to get going on some stuff. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for being with us, Ash.
Yeah, I'll catch you guys up on the recording. So,
cool.
Bye.
Sounds good. Bye. All right. Miss Kim, you going to hang with us for a bit?
Yeah, because I want to see it because I think, yeah.
Okay, cool.